September 3rd, 2007.
Hi, this is Michael Johnson from Gardner, Maine, and you are listening to the Lullabot Podcast.
Lullabot Podcast.
Hi, it's Jeff Robbins, and this is episode 46 of the Lullabot Drupal Podcast. On this week's episode, we have an interview with the Australian team from Full Code Press. Full Code Press is an event where they build websites. This year it was just two teams, New Zealand versus Australia. They build two teams building one website each, complete website, beginning to end, in 24 hours. Fascinating project, educational, to see all the different people, and how they work together on a project as rapid as this, and, trying to get things to work efficiently. The New Zealand team, built a website using, they basically built a custom content management system from scratch, whereas the Australian team used, believe it or not, Drupal. And they did a great job, built a great site. However, they did not win the competition. But we thought it would be interesting to have them on, to talk about, the pros and cons that they found in using Drupal and where they found their difficulties to be. And, it's very interesting and enlightening. Lullabot workshops, Providence, Rhode Island, November, first week in November in Providence, build an entire Drupal site in a week, not in 24 hours, but we're going to build it in a week and we're going to explain it too. Check out, lullabot.com/training for more information about that. All right. Here's the interview with, Team Australia. Well, I'm on the line with, the Australian team from the, Full Code Press, event. I actually know very little about the whole thing, but it all sounds fascinating. So, let's start by going around and, introducing, the people we have on the line. David McDonald, do you want to start us?
Sure. Hi, my name's David McDonald. I'm a freelance web designer from Melbourne in Victoria, in Australia, and I was selected as the front end guy for the Full Code Press team. So my job was basically to work with the XHTML and the CSS. My job was to take Sarah's design and basically build the XHTML CSS, the front end from that. So I was one member of the Australian Full Code Press team.
And Sarah?
Yep. Hi, I'm Sarah Peak. I'm working, again, freelance in Tasmania just the last couple of years. And I was selected on the team for the design, as David mentioned. So I got to do all the colouring in and basically sort of work with David and also in the information architecture. I had a little bit to do with that as well.
Yeah. And Russ?
Hello. I'm one of the saddest to sort of put this event on, I suppose. It was instigated by a guy called Mike Brown, who runs Webstock in Wellington and New Zealand. He rang me up one day and said, you know, do you want to be involved in putting on an event? And we thought the idea sounded great. So through his company, Webstock, and the Web Industry Professionals Association in Australia, we organised and ran the event, mainly to try and give as much pain to web developers in both teams as possible.
So it's just a New Zealand versus Australia thing?
This particular one, yes. What we're hoping to do next year is open it up with, there's about 25 countries registered for a Full Code Press in Wellington next year, which will be in February, I think. So that one will be an open to all the countries that want to take part. But this particular one was sort of like a following the rugby idea of a grudge match between right. Australia and New Zealand.
yet another rivalry between Australia and New Zealand.
Yes, and we lost, which I'd just like to say publicly that I'm very disappointed in both Sarah and David for letting the team. Yeah. Not that there was any pressure.
Of course not.
So the reason that we've asked you on the Drupal podcast is that that your team, the Australian team, chose to use Drupal, whereas the New Zealand team chose to code from scratch. And so we're going to talk a little bit about, to give away the ending, the Australian team lost. So, but we still thought it would be. So it's not all happiness and roses on the Drupal podcast, but we thought it'd be really interesting to find out sort of what the difficulties were, with Drupal and the advantages as well. So let's describe exactly what the event is and how it happened. Russ, it sounds like you're probably the best person to describe that.
Okay, well, basically two teams, in this case Australia and New Zealand, and there were seven team members in each country, and both countries were allowed to choose their own teams. We just opened ours up for nominations. People put their names forward with a resume, and we just chose the best players we could within a range. And then just to make it easier and safer, we end up choosing them out of a hat of the last few. But the point is that we have two non-profit associations, and the aim was to give them both a website at the end of the 24 hours so that the teams would sit down at the 21st minute of the 24 hours and receive their client, and they'd work with that client for 24 hours. And the aim is, at the end of the 24 hours, both teams should have a full and complete website that meets that client's needs.
And was the client actually present?
That's correct, yeah.
Wow. Boy, that puts extra pressure on. So each team had a separate client that needed a separate type of site, correct?
Yes, correct. The original idea was to have one client for both teams, and although that would have made it better for judging, it would have meant that, you know, only one client got a site. So from the humanistic perspective, I suppose, we thought it'd be better just to make the judging slightly harder, but have two clients walk away with great sites.
Right, right. And so the two clients were, what were the two clients?
Well, you guys could probably answer who yours were.
Sarah, do you want to do that one?
Yeah, sure. Okay. Our clients were called the Ripple Effect. And they basically, it's a voluntary organization with basically two main, I think, organizers and a few support people. And they work with schools to deliver projects to change lives of children in their communities. So I think at the moment they're working mainly in Thailand. Yeah.
That's right.
And the other one was called the Grampians Disability Advocacy Association, who work in the regional areas of Victoria. So both of them are very worthwhile causes.
Great. And they got each got a 24-hour website out of the deal. And they're actually pretty good websites. We should give out some links for people. You can go to fullcodepress.com. And then there are links off to the Australian project and the New Zealand project in the right-hand bar there.
Yep. And there's also links to video that was taken throughout the competition, and there's photographs as well on YouTube and Flickr.
So this happened. The teams actually got together in the same room to build the sites, correct? Even though people were sort of spread out where they actually live, did everyone travel to one place for the actual event?
Yes, we did. We all travelled to Sydney, and we all set up in two conference rooms in Sydney. So the Australian team were in one conference room, and the New Zealand team were in another conference room.
Cool.
And we had network access, you know, in each conference room, and we all bought our laptops or computers and had our own setups in each room.
Gosh, that must have been exciting. I can only imagine.
It was very exciting.
It was very, very, yep.
I was going to say very exciting, very tiring, but very rewarding.
And very enlightening, I can imagine, because I know from my experience, the different people in the project have different roles at different times. So, for instance, Sarah, your role as a designer, I can imagine that there were probably developers sitting around twiddling their thumbs while you were while you were working, which could only add to the extra pressure there.
Definitely. And we chose early on to sort of give them a slightly new revamped identity as well. So I was sort of trying to struggle with that.
Oh, so you're doing a little bit
got underway.
A little bit of high-speed brand work as well.
Then. Yes, that's right.
That's always always successful. Yeah,
definitely. Well, I hope so.
Sometimes it's the best way to do it, I have to say.
Definitely.
Especially if the client is around, it's best to just tell them, we're hurrying now. We'll hear from you later.
Yeah, that's it. You'll like this one.
Yes, you'll like this. When we're done, it'll be done in 24 hours. Yeah. So let's talk a bit about the site that you decided to build. And actually, maybe step back. Did you all know who you were building the site for, what the site was before the event started, or was that unveiled at the event?
That was actually unveiled at the event. At the very start of the event, both charities explained who they were and what they did, and then both charities had a CD of all their content, and those two CDs went into a hat, and the New Zealand team drew out one of the CDs out of the hat, so it was random choice which site we got.
Oh, okay.
So just so that you're aware, only three people in the world knew about who the final choices were. There was a subcommittee that looked at all the people that put in their names as non-profit associations, and that subcommittee were the only ones that knew until those committee members arrived at the event. So no one, none of the other organisers or the teams or anyone knew until 9 o'clock that morning who the clients were.
So it was from 9 o'clock in the morning till 9 o'clock the next morning.
That's
right. We actually started at 9:22.
Well,
that time is permanently etched on all of our brains.
we have until 9:21 and 59 seconds.
The countdown.
So, had you decided ahead of time to use Drupal?
Not really, Jeff. But Drupal was one of our list of CMSs that we looked at. In the team, also there was two dev guys, and one of the dev guys had used Drupal before. I'd briefly used Drupal sort of from a theming perspective before, but we were really waiting to see the functionality that was required for the site. So once we saw that there was a little bit of quite a bit of functionality involved, then Drupal became our choice.
Wow. So you sort of had them in your palette, in your bag of tricks, various different ways of doing it, and you chose Drupal. Why'd you choose Drupal?
From my perspective, I think functionality was probably one of the main reasons. I mean, a lot of the functionality that we were asked to build, such as contact forms, making sure that contact form information goes to a database, those sort of things. A lot of that functionality is already pre-built into Drupal. So, from a development perspective, we thought, well, there's no point sort of reinventing the wheel. Let's go with something where this functionality already exists. Our other choice was going to be WordPress,
right?
I probably would have had an easier time from the front end with WordPress, but we probably would have had a more difficult time from a development and functionality perspective. So that's probably why we chose Drupal.
So were you happy with your decision with Drupal?
Well, from my perspective, I mean, there's a lot of variables really at the end for the site to come together. I think from a functionality perspective, I think, yes, we were happy with the functionality that we got. But then from a front-end perspective, like I was doing the XHTML and CSS. I did have difficulty basically because we worked with an existing theme. I think one of your themes, Jeff, the Zen theme.
Theme. I have been known to, yes, the Zen, yes. That was me.
that was you. So what we basically did is – I tried to basically pare that theme back to just the bare minimum, just layout, like no,
right.
So there was no sort of design. But because I'm not that familiar with Drupal, or I wasn't before the event, I was having difficulty sort of because there was style being applied there that I couldn't see where it was coming from. So it was obviously coming from core CSS files.
Right.
So I had a little bit of difficulty from the front end perspective.
So that's interesting. So you're saying that the CSS and the information that Core was giving you actually made things more difficult in this rapid environment.
Yeah, but I think part of that reason is, well, firstly, because I'm probably a bit of a perfectionist when it comes to code.
Uh-huh.
And I really like full control over my XHTML, my CSS.
Right.
And when I couldn't get that a lot of the time, I was getting frustrated. And secondly, because of my lack of experience with customizing Drupal.
Right. So, yeah,
but having said that,
And from the perspective of the Zen theme, it strives to be a very simple, standards compliant, semantic output. However, there's just a lot of extra stuff that Drupal tends to put in.
Yes.
That I'm sure that you came in contact with. I mean, over time, I've sort of come up with an understanding of why that might be. I mean, part of it is just the complete abstraction of not knowing what's going to be in a given area.
Yep.
That, you know, it's a block. So, okay, we know it's a block and we know the module that's outputting it. So let's just stick a big ID on it and put a div around everything that has the block and the
yes.
module name and stuff like that. But from a HTML, CSS person's standpoint,
yes.
it's understandable to look at that and say, ah, what's all those extra divs in there and all these
exactly.
nasty
why can't I control that? That's right.
Yeah.
And that took me a couple of hours to realize what was happening.
Hours.
And yeah, it's sort of a couple of hours.
Dev's a bit slow.
Yeah, a bit slow.
Wow.
And because I was just like I was testing in IE, I was testing in Firefox and quite a few browsers, and my styles just weren't being applied. And yeah, at first I thought it was my CSS, and then after about an hour or so, I realized that yeah, there was core CSS there that was overriding what I was doing. So
right.
Once I got my head around that, things started to move a little bit quicker.
Yeah,
for me anyway.
Well, it's a little bit late to be giving you tips now. But I use Firebug for Firefox.
I had that.
Which is super helpful for trying to track down what are the what is targeting, what is affecting any given element on the page. So that's it's helpful to see all the core CSS stuff that's kind of getting in your way, as it were, I guess.
Yeah, I was using Firebug. Yep. As Russ said, I'm a bit slow.
And can I mention regarding the design?
Yeah.
And perhaps if I can just ask David, now we've finished it, from the perspective of actually putting that code together, I tried to keep the design as simple as possible given the time frame we had. So would David agree that it wasn't a complex design, there wasn't anything there that was really holding you up from that perspective?
No, that's right. The design is fairly simple.
Yeah.
It was my lack of knowledge with customizing the front end of Drupal that took me a while. That's right. It wasn't anything from a design perspective. No.
Yeah.
But if I had my time again, I probably would have. Now, from what I've learned, I learned a lot about theming and customizing Drupal in those 24 hours.
I can imagine.
And since, like, talking to people, so if I had to approach it again, I would probably start from a blank slate rather than from an existing theme.
Yeah. Well, maybe that Zen should be a more blank slate. Maybe a fair amount of work could be done to sort of clear things out. I've definitely been thinking about that. I mean, originally Zen, was written as a possible core theme for Drupal, and the problem was that as a sort of purely starting point semantic HTML, it really should have sort of little to no style at all. Yet
that's what I was thinking.
Yet people were looking at it and saying, "You consider this to be a worthy theme? It doesn't look like much." And so we ended up sort of using a relatively simple open source template design for it. But I think as it's moving along, we're actually starting to just sort of rip everything out of it and try and sort of set everything to zero. In fact, I just came across some sort of a library that someone had put out for basically sort of zeroing out all CSS elements on the page. I'm not remembering.
For Drupal? Or?
For just in general, setting up sort of a standardized kind of, across all web browsers,
Yep.
You know, so that links are, for instance, not underlined. And
I think Eric Meyer has written something like that, like a sort of to zero out everything.
Yeah.
So that was the other thing too, Jeff, because I was having to use important, you know, on the style, right. I wrote, my theme style, I was having to use the important declaration on the CSS to overwrite, you know, everything that had been, you know, to overwrite the theme CSS. And so that was, yeah, that was sort of quite, that it was difficult to have to use important all the time to overwrite, you know, core CSS. I suppose that's nothing to do with the Zen theme, though. I suppose that's just how the front end on Drupal works. Is that correct, too?
Well, you know, it's all a sort of evolutionary thing. I don't know how familiar you are with Drupal and sort of the evolution of Drupal, but it's been a very organic growth, you know, with a lot of people contributing relatively small patches rather than very few people, you know, contributing large hunks of code. So I think the problems that you're having are just sort of legacy things. I mean, you know, we wanted ways to display the menu so that you could tell if a menu item had children or that kind of thing. So you had, you know, triangles that were either pointing to the right or pointing down, depending on whether the children were showing. And
that's
and stuff
right.
Like that. And so for someone who isn't really taking all of that under their own wing, it's nice to have those elements. Yet if you wanted to just go in and, for instance, change the colors of those things, then you have to do a lot of work to try and figure out how they're being generated and how you can override them and stuff like that. So
that's exactly right. And that was the issue we came across. It was because we needed to, you know, completely customize everything. It seemed like there'd already been some style decisions made in you know, Drupal core that we had trouble overwriting. That's correct.
Yeah, certainly. Well, it's, I mean, this is great to hear from you all, because it's lots of times it's just a matter of sort of bringing these issues to light and then knowing that people are having these problems so that we can fix them in Drupal. So,
like you said, it would be fantastic if there were core CSS files or core things like with no style whatsoever. Yeah, exactly.
Or
like just with that.
Overridable, with certainly, yeah.
Exactly. Or even just widths and floats on them, nothing else, and so they were overridable. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I think that would be very, very handy. Or from a front-end perspective, anyway.
Right, yeah. It's really interesting to think of Drupal as this sort of rapid development environment, because we talk about that. I mean, you know, Rails gets all this hype for being a, you know, rapid web application platform, and Drupal has a framework that's has a similar amount of functionality, but when it actually comes right down to it and putting it in a situation like yours, it's interesting to see how it fares. What is truly rapid.
Yeah.
Oh, I found this this library. It's called Tripoli, monc.se/Tripoli, TRIPOLI. And it's this sort of CSS library for sort of zeroing out your CSS. I'm still trying to get my head fully around it, but it's GPL.
Okay, thanks for that.
It's GPL'd, so I might figure out how to roll that into the Zen theme or something, or maybe someone else will figure that out and I won't have to.
Fantastic.
but when I saw that, I was thinking, oh yeah, this would be great to just have something that sort of zeroes things out again.
Yes.
But it is a bit redundant to have something to just keep adding more CSS in order to zero out the stuff that's already been there. Would be more efficient would be to just take out the stuff that's already there.
Exactly.
So let's not harp too much on this specific issue. What were the other features of Drupal that were appealing to you and also beneficial and or difficult? Were there other functionality things that were helpful or difficult in the process?
I suppose the sub-navigation and that sort of thing. The user login and the admin side was good. That gave the clients a lot of functionality. Again, though, we probably hit some usability issues there because I was sort of zeroing and cancelling out styles, that affected the admin area as well.
Right.
Or the admin area style as well. if that makes sense.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah. This is the thing again that if you zero everything out, then you start losing the effects
yes.
of what's beneficial from the CSS that's already there. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, also the blogging functionality, which, you know, or the latest news, the latest news on the website, we just, that was just called, you know, Drupal functionality, like just your standard sort of blogging tool. What else did we use? We also used mapping, didn't we, Sarah, somewhere? We used integration with Yahoo Maps.
Yahoo, yep, that's right.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I'm not sure where that is at the moment.
It's
in there somewhere.
I think it's in the About Us section. Yeah. We did some integration with Yahoo Maps as well, which worked quite seamlessly as well. So that was really handy.
Mm. That's cool to be able to add that level of functionality in 24 hours. Anything involving maps, it seems like it should take several days.
Yeah, exactly. Feedback forms, all that sort of thing, like they were pretty much pre-built for us, so that was handy. What other functionality do we have? We also had we had donation forms as well, where people can donate. So all that sort of thing was sort of pre-built with forms. So from that side of it, we had a lot of sorry, Sarah.
And so I was just going to say the calendar as well. I just remembered we have in there too.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. On the admin side, we also have a calendar of events that users can log in and see events. Wasn't it, Sarah? Was it? Go ahead.
No, that's okay. It's cutting out a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, it's hidden behind the username and password, but basically the calendar events there for volunteers to see. So
that's right.
Cool. So this is actually a whole dynamic site that people can log into, and there's actually functionality for logged in users and all that kind of stuff.
That's correct. So there's that functionality as well, because the clients require different levels of users. There was a super. There's, I think the first level was a super admin, which is the actual clients themselves, and then once people volunteer, then they get a login as well. So there's a volunteer level of access as well. I think there might have been a third level. I can't recall. So that was another piece of functionality that basically just worked out of the box with Drupal, which was great.
Mm. Cool stuff. Yeah. Oh, right on. Are there any particularly, like, where did you find the most difficult sort of learning curve, or I don't even know if calling it a learning curve in 24 hours is I would panic curve. Sort of the points where you looked at things and said, "Oh my God, I've got to figure this out." In Drupal, were there any areas like that that you found things to either be particularly difficult or conversely happily easy?
I mentioned one thing which I was only because I was just peering over the shoulder of Jeff, our other dev guy, and the last minute we were trying to get the breadcrumbs sorted out.
Oh yeah.
And we had a static page. I think it's called a static page, the news page, or it's a different type of page, and we had to sort of spend about a half hour just trying to work out why that breadcrumb didn't quite appear the way the others did. So I'm not sure how that works from the back end, but it just seemed to cause a little bit of a hassle at the time.
Right.
That's right. It was just basically because we were all quite new to Drupal. It was just sort of figuring out exactly how Drupal does things, like from a back end perspective, from a front end perspective, and we needed to figure those things out so we could customize these things. And that was difficult at the start.
Right. Well, we have a whole sort of spiel that we do because Lullabot teaches workshops, and we talk to people about, you know, you are new Drupal people and you have this wonderful perspective because you everything is clear to you what doesn't work. And as experts, it's not clear to us what doesn't work. So as, you know, as newbies, essentially, you can help explain to the rest of us how things ought to be. It's really interesting, because you know, we have experience with this, and I think of all the time that we've put in researching all the various modules and all the various options and the different ways of doing things. And definitely an education like that with Drupal is really beneficial, but it's an interesting perspective coming at it from just like, okay, we've got to learn we've got to learn and build this all in 24 hours. I'm actually impressed that Drupal did so well in that situation.
Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, the clients were really happy with the site, weren't they, Sarah? Really happy with
Definitely.
It.
Definitely, yeah. They were over the moon. So,
yeah. That's great. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
I think they've already started to add an extra page or two, and they seem to be getting fairly familiar with it, which is great as well in such a short time.
Yeah, it's fully dynamic. I wonder if the New Zealand people can add pages.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the client is Australian, so they'll be able to figure it out for sure.
Oh, dear. The rivalry continues.
Yeah.
And this is an annual event, the Full Code Press?
Well, let's just see how we go. I mean, we'd like to open up. We've talked to students about doing an education one where young students do it from TAFEs and colleges. We're talking about doing a corporate one so different corporations or large companies can, you know, fight it out against themselves. So there's all sorts of variations that are being talked about, but the only one we've locked in is February next year.
Very cool. I really like the idea of this event. It's fascinating to me. It's sort of a sport I could understand.
Very early on, we started calling it Geek Olympics or Olympics.
Right, yeah.
That seemed to have caught on. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really fascinating thing, and this idea of building a website so quickly, and also just sort of understanding the players that are involved in building a site like this and how they can work in parallel, because I think a lot of times people see it as a very sort of serial process that the designer does their designing. And then the HTML person does their HTMLing, and then the developers then can start. And I think with Drupal in particular, it's possible to start working on the functionality separately. And so,
yeah.
Actually, that's a good point. That helped us along as well, because exactly what you said. There, we had the developers working on the functional side, while I was working on the front end side, and Sarah was doing design. So we could all work in tandem. Yeah. So that was helpful from that perspective.
Mm.
I suppose the other thing too to note, Jeff, is that the Australian team had never met each other before the Friday night either. So we'd never worked together before as a team. But I think. Considering that, I think we all sort of put together and came up with a good product and worked really well together.
Definitely. I have to agree with that. It was a fantastic group work, and the fact that we could all just get on with our roles and get on so well, and I think every now and then we sort of shouted across the room at each other and asked a few questions and things, but we were so respectful and cooperative with each other. It just went beautifully.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
From an organisation point of view, I disagree. We were hoping for blood on the floor, and you know, we had video cameras rolling in there virtually 24 hours, hoping for some really dirty action. And instead, both teams were incredibly civilised. It was quite sickening.
It would make for better press. You could probably get it on television if there was blood, at least in the United States.
That was the aim. So these very civilised teams were a great disappointment on some level.
Well, yes, bring new meaning to extreme. Dream programming.
Yeah, yeah. That's right.
So I guess let's just quickly sort of go through the different roles of the different people involved in the project and sort of how they played into actually building the site. There were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people on your team. Is that correct?
Sarah, do you want to?
Yes, that's right. Yep.
And so what was it, I guess you can probably both speak more clearly about what your specific roles were, but maybe we just sort of run through quickly Marla was the project manager, and what exactly was her role in this? Mostly just sort of running around, I would guess.
She kept us all awake,
yeah.
And you know, basically focused. She'd come around every now and then and see how long we need to take on certain things, and just, you know, pull the whole thing together. So she did a great job. Yeah.
And Ruth was the IA user experience person. Did she do like full like wireframes and all that kind of stuff for it, or was it?
She did. She'd planned a lot with sort of what possibly could be the requirements before we started, and then sort of tweaked it obviously as we got there, and she did some profiling, and I think even before the event she did a lot of interviews, just sort of ad hoc, to see what type of you know, functionality they might need.
Wow.
For that type of organization. So she did put a lot of work in, I think, before the event as well.
Boy, it's like a top-notch project. I mean, you really did the whole thing. It wasn't just, you know, like a shell kind of a site. I mean, it was actually really fully thought out and all that kind of, that's amazing. It's really amazing. There's sort of an assumption that it's like, well, we made it look like a website in 24 hours, but you actually really, really did it. And so, Sarah, you were the designer.
Yep. Yep. And then there was also Melissa, who was the responsible for the content. And she actually, I think, I don't know if it's true, but she went through basically all of the content that she was provided with and reformatted it to speak the same language. So, you know, so that took a lot of her effort throughout the 24 hours there to do that, with in conjunction with the client as well.
That's right. She also wrote a user manual as well for the admin side of the site.
Wow. These are all roles that, I mean, I think a lot of people, and maybe a lot of people in Drupal, we've talked about doing a podcast where we sort of talk about the different roles of different people, especially in large scale projects. You know, you get a lot of people who are hackers or hobbyists or whatever, and they, you know, build a site for themselves and sort of take on all of these roles themselves when they start a company or something. And it's really fascinating to see as you actually carve out these roles and fully realize them, you know, what a person like a writer can do on a site, even in a short time period, like 24 hours. So,
yeah, definitely. I mean, for myself, particularly, I'm a bit of a Jill of all trades, and I do work in a very small business. So it was the first opportunity I'd had to work with a group where everyone was specializing in these really well-defined roles, and it was just a wonderful eye-opener for me to see. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, I mean, because I know that designing, you know, you're designing something, and then you come to the space in the design where the text is supposed to go.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, then you have to switch over into writer mode and actually fill it up with the text. And it's
Lorem Ipsum.
Yeah, or,
yes,
well,
as always.
Because the client doesn't understand oftentimes if it's like, well, this is where the copy will go. And then they say, well, there's no copy there. And you say, I'm the designer. I don't need to write it. There's not enough people. And so, David, you were the HTML, CSS guru on the project?
That's correct. I was the front end guy. So I was basically taking Sarah's design and wrangling that into Drupal. And we also had Rex Chung, who was basically our dev guy. The PHP, sort of MySQL, any sort of back end issues. He was working on those. And Jeff Lauder, who was basically our captain's choice. So Jeff was sort of a jack of all trades as well. He helped on most aspects. He helped on front end. He helped on the back end, and all sorts of things. Basically, Jeff had the most experience out of the group with Drupal. So Jeff helped us set Drupal up and get it running and all those sort of things.
Great! Wow, that's really exciting. Cool. Any last comments about the whole project or Drupal?
From my perspective, I learned a lot. I really did learn a lot about Drupal. And if we had more time, I think we could have kept going and done a lot more. But unfortunately, we only had 24 hours. But I'm very interested now in sort of learning more about Drupal theming and customizing and sort of the best practice and best ways to go about that.
Well, let me know when you're ready to help out with the Zen theme.
Sure.
There's a lot of talk in the issue queue, but very few actual code patches. So Yeah, that'd be great.
And I think from a front end perspective, like there's a lot that could be done with Drupal and theming. So yeah, I'm happy to sort of get involved and learn more about that side of it.
Yeah, definitely. That's an area. You know, Drupal has sort of historically been, you know, it's got a really great clean PHP framework that a lot of PHP developers get very excited about, and it attracts a lot of PHP developers, but less so sort of front end people. And so we could definitely use your voice in there. That'd be great.
Sure.
Well, thanks for coming on the podcast. This whole concept is really fascinating, and I'm really curious to see where it goes in the future. And I hope that Drupal will become a better platform for that in the future, and that we can keep up with the what did the other team actually build on? Do you know? Did they build on Rails, or was it just
not sure? To be honest.
the New Zealand team actually built their own CMS from scratch, and I think they used I'm guessing it was PHP MySQL. Is that right, Russ?
I had a feeling it was too, but I'm not sure exactly.
So the other team built on PHP as well.
I think so. Yes.
Cool.
You can actually find out. SitePoint has a blog post right now, which by Matt McGain, which asks, you know, should people be building off a platform or off custom built? And there's quite a lot of discussion there. But Mark, the guy who built the site for the New Zealand team, has chimed in there and explained why and how he did it. So it's worth checking out on the SitePoint blog.
I've just sent you that link, Jeff.
Oh, cool. I'll attempt to read it off for people. Here we go. It's www.sitepoint.com/blogs/2007/08/21/full-code-press-pre-built-vs-custom. I think probably if you were to go to Google and just search for SitePoint full code press, you'd probably get there. So
it's a friendly URL.
Yeah, it's friendly as long as you don't actually need to read it on a podcast.
Yeah, that's right.
Cool. Well, great. Well, I hope you all will keep us posted on your progress in future things. And thanks again for coming on the podcast.
Thanks, Jeff.
Take care.
Thank you, Jeff.
Bye-bye.